Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Good morning, everyone. It's a real honor for me to be here and thank Pastor Gary for the opportunity. My reason for wanting to share my testimony with you isn't to gain any status or recognition for myself. It's to honor and glorify God for what He's done in my life. I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, to a Jewish family, and I was raised in a Reformed congregation. It was called Mount Zion, by the way. My life was on track. Everything was going well. I had good grades in school. I had high goals that I had set for myself. From the age of 5, I wanted to be a medical doctor, actually. And when I was 15 years old, I was riding in a car with some members of my temple youth group, and it was during a blizzard in February in Minnesota. And I was sitting in the front passenger seat. The car I was riding in lost control and hit a tree, and I went headfirst through the windshield and landed on my hip on the ice and snow that the plows leave behind. I wound up having 300 stitches in my forehead that day. And after months of going to orthopedic specialists and being in pain and not knowing what was wrong, they finally found out that I had suffered a hip fracture and dislocation, and now I was dealing with lack of blood supply to the bone, and it was dying and disintegrating inside my hip as I walked. So in 1962, I had two hip surgeries, and then I finished high school and medical school and college. But what happened when I came back from that accident is I went to synagogue, and people came up to me and said, God must have known that you could handle this. But what I heard, what the enemy of my soul wanted me to hear, was that God wanted this to happen to you. So I became just so hurt and angry with God that I kicked Him out of my life, literally. I said, if that's the kind of God you are, I don't want anything to do with you. So even though I was admitted to medical school and graduated and did an internship and residency in obstetrics and gynecology in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California, and had my own practice for 5 years in Santa Cruz, a beautiful place in California, those accomplishments never brought me the satisfaction or the happiness and joy that I expected I would receive from meeting my life goals that way. So I tried everything, literally everything that the world had to offer, to kill the pain and disappointment I felt at not having the peace and joy and sense of accomplishment that I thought I should have. And along the way, I destroyed several relationships. I hurt all the people that tried to love me until I got to the point where I didn't even love myself. In 1986, my mother had a heart attack in Minnesota, and I left California and moved back to help her as I had promised I would. And while I was there, I got offered another job, and I moved permanently back to Minnesota. And I met a woman there, a lovely Christian woman, and I got remarried. And then my mother and my grandmother died in the same week. They both died on a Sunday, 1 week apart, mother and daughter. And I was grief-stricken, because my mother was the parent that I really bonded with. I had an older brother who bonded with our father, but I bonded with my mom. And when she died and grandma died, I was just overcome. And my brothers, who'd been smoking pot for 30 years, said, smoke some of this with us. It'll help you feel better. And I had tried pot and been addicted to it earlier in my life. I'd tried other drugs. I literally tried almost everything the world had to offer. But I'd been free, and now I tried it, and as soon as I smoked some of it, I started getting addicted again right away. My new wife had been previously married to an alcoholic. She had made an oath to herself that if she ever got in the situation of being with someone who was using drugs or alcohol, she wouldn't hang around. And one day she came home from work unexpectedly on my day off and caught me smoking pot out on our back deck. And she went to the hospital medical staff where I practiced and told them that she came home and caught me smoking pot. And they called me in, had an intervention, and said, if I don't go to drug treatment tomorrow, I'm fired and I'll never work as a doctor again. Took me 12 years to land that career that I had sought, and I wasn't going to give it up, so I went to drug treatment. And I was an inpatient for 24 days, and then I had to go to 3 meetings a week for 2 years and have random urine tests, and if I ever tested positive, I would be instantly fired. While I was going to those meetings and working the steps and using everything I'd learned in treatment, one of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and Addicts Anonymous is step 11. It says that we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand God, asking only for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out in our lives. And so I started reaching out to God. I started seeking Him. And, you know, the Word promises that those who seek Him will find Him. In 1995, a revival broke out in Minnesota at the same time that revivals broke out in Toronto and Pensacola. The Holy Spirit was pouring out something new and different. And people were getting saved and delivered and set free, and demons were coming out of people. Hundreds of people were being baptized. And a person that I knew who was battling depression, had been suicidal, went to those meetings and immediately started getting better. So when I got invited in 1997 to go to a revival meeting, I'd never done anything like that before. I'd never been in church. I knew no doctrine, no church jargon, nothing about it. But I went. And it's no coincidence that our worship team sang Shout to the Lord this morning, because that was the very first song that the worship team played at the meeting I went to. And the Lord started to touch my heart. And this evangelist from Australia who had had revival breakout 2 years before came out and preached from Ephesians 1. He said that I'd been chosen before the foundation of the world to receive all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and that He was going to present me before the Father, holy and blameless in love. And I was carrying around so much guilt and shame because of all the things that I'd done. And so when they had an altar call at that church called Church of the Resurrection, they would move all the chairs out of the sanctuary, and 150 people were lined up in rows of 50. And he went down the line praying, Christ in you, the hope of glory, laying hands on people. And people were falling down, and they were crying, and they were laughing, and they were, you know, moaning and groaning. And my friend said, don't try to resuscitate anybody. There's nothing wrong with them. I said, I'm not that stupid. Come on. So anyway, I'm thinking to myself, when he gets to me, nothing's going to happen. I'll be the only one left standing in the whole room. But, of course, I was wrong. When he laid hands on me, It was like I got hit by lightning. It was like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. A bright light just knocked me to the ground. And I don't know how long I was there, but when I started feeling the weight of that guilt and shame lift off of me, I started laughing, a Holy Ghost laughter. And when I stood up, people came to me and said, "You know what this means?" And I said, "No, what does it mean? It says it means you're born again. Because before I had been prayed for, he had asked everybody in the room to repeat the sinner's prayer after him, and I had repeated it along with everybody else. And so I said, "That's great that I'm born again, but what does that mean?" So I started walking out, and a guy came running up to me and said, "I need to talk to you, but it's going to sound crazy." And I said, "Well, that's okay. I've had kind of a crazy night already." And he said, "4 days ago, I had a dream, but it wasn't a dream, it was a vision. And in my vision, a man came to our service here and got saved. And when I saw you walk in tonight, I recognized that you're the man from my vision." I had chills going up and down my spine. I said, "God, what are you doing?" And he said, "I notice that you don't have a Bible of your own. Would you please take mine?" And he gave me his Bible. Now, prior to this time, if I went to a hotel and pulled out the Gideon Bible from the nightstand and I tried to read the New Testament, it was gibberish to me. I literally could not read it. But when I went home that night and opened up his Bible, I could read it and understand it perfectly. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, had me open it to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. So I read John chapter 3, the first words I ever read in the New Testament, and it told what it meant to be born again. And I understood what they were trying to tell me. I turned on the TV because I wasn't tired enough to fall asleep, and the 700 Club was on a channel I never had tuned my TV to. Just happened to be on. And Pat Robertson said, "If you want to know Jesus, pray this prayer with me," and said the same prayer that the evangelist had said earlier. So I repeated it again with him, and then I called the 800 number and they prayed with me on the phone. The next night, my friends couldn't go back to the revival, but I decided to go myself. So I went forward for the altar call again after the worship and after the preaching. And when he laid hands on me, I was on the floor again. And this time I was weeping and repenting. And I was thinking to myself, what a waste that I'm 50 years old and I'm only now finding out the truth. What a waste. And this woman came and knelt down next to me and said, "Are you Bruce?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I heard what happened last night to you," and she started to glow like an angel. And she said, "I'm so happy I'm going to be spending eternity with you." And I just melted inside. And she said, "God sent me to tell you something." And I thought, oh boy, here comes some church jargon. So I said, "What does God want me to know?" She said, "God wants you to know you've been laying here thinking what a waste that you're 50 years old and you're only now finding out the truth." Word for word, my very thoughts. So I knew that it was God. And then she said, "God sent me to tell you you're going to learn as much in the next 6 months as all these other people have learned in 20 years. I read through the New Testament in several different translations. In the next 6 months, I went to maybe 50 of those meetings, got to know the evangelist and became friends with him and his family, and God downloaded to me 20 years worth of understanding in 6 months. I can't explain it, I didn't ask for it, but he chose to do that. I was still a doctor, I was still practicing medicine, but now I started feeling called to ministry. And I didn't know how to make a transition from medicine to ministry. I even went to a pastor friend and asked him about it. I said, "Could this call that I'm feeling be really be God?" And he said, let's face it, Bruce, no one would give up a medical career to become a minister if it wasn't God. It's not natural. And so anyway, the injuries I'd suffered in the car accident took me away from God all those years ago. And now those injuries came back to haunt me, and I needed to have surgery in 2002. And instead of one planned surgery, I wound up having three because of complications. And after those complications, my clinic informed me that I was retired due to disability. I wouldn't be able to work as a doctor anymore. And I said, yes, thank you, God. Now I can go to Bible school and answer the call that you placed on my life. So the same circumstances that caused me to turn away from God, he used to propel me into the prophetic destiny that he had chosen for me. I went to a Bible school in the same church that I'd got saved in, Church of the Resurrection, called Heart for the Nations. And after 2 years, I got a degree in biblical studies. The whole time after I'd been saved, I'd been attending a messianic congregation called Seed of Abraham in a suburb of Minneapolis. And it was one of the oldest messianic congregations in the whole country. And I asked the rabbi if I could be an intern with him for the summer so that I'd be eligible to be licensed when I had graduated from Bible school. And he said, yes, I'd love to have you as an intern. I served for 3 months, and I'd already been attending there for many years, 8 years. Everybody knew me. And the day my internship ended, the same exact day, the associate pastor who'd been there for many years quit the congregation unexpectedly, and the elders and deacons had an emergency meeting and asked me to be a rabbi in training and take her place on the ministry team. And I said, yes. And after serving as a rabbi in training for 13, 14 months, I was ordained as the associate messianic rabbi at the Seed of Abraham in the summer of 2006. And I served in that capacity for the next 8 years. When I had kicked God out of my life, and I never was able to feel satisfaction or peace or joy from my accomplishments, it was as Pastor Gary has been preaching about, there's a God-shaped hole or a God spot in every human being that can only be filled by the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that spot was filled when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I started experiencing the things from my new career that I had thought I should experience from my former career but never was able to. My wife had divorced me long ago. She couldn't trust me anymore, she said, and she just wanted out. And after I'd been single for 10 years, I started praying to God that he would bring me a godly woman to be my wife and life partner, and I would be able to experience marriage the way he intended it to be instead of the way I messed up by bringing all my worldly problems into it to start with. And I prayed that for 6 months, every day. And then I went on eHarmony.com, and I got matched with a woman, and we started interacting online. Eventually we met in person, and after several times of meeting her for dates or walks in the park or whatever, I started to realize that she had every quality that had been on my list before God, and even more than that. And I knew that God was bringing her to answer my prayer. It took her a little longer to realize the same thing, but she eventually did, and she became my wife, Jane, on 2/10/2010. 2/10/2010. God has used us to go to India on 3 separate short-term mission trips. And while we were in India, we saw blind eyes open, deaf ears open, lame walking, people being healed, delivered, and set free. We've cast out demons, and we even laid hands on lepers that they brought from the leper colony. And when we got home, we got an email from the pastors in India saying that four of the lepers that we prayed for had been cleansed. It was like living in the book of Acts. And I also had been on a, before I met Jane, I'd been on a short-term mission trip to Kenya also. And when I was in Kenya, I led more people to the Lord in one single day than I had in my whole previous lifetime combined. And that wasn't just one day, it was many days like that. I'm amazed at the way that the Lord has used me. I never pictured this to be my life calling, but he did. And the Bible says that the Lord's ways are greater than our ways, and you can make all the plans you want, but his plans are the ones that are going to stand. I want to read for you a scripture that has become basically my life verse. It's from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. I'm flipping to Philippians here. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also call all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I believe that there is a that for every believer. The Bible says that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are called, you are chosen, and you are sent. But 90% of Christians don't know what their true calling is in the Lord, according to surveys. And, you know, it says that Jesus himself chose what part of the body of Christ you were supposed to take to be. He himself put everybody in his body the way that he chose. And yet we're all part of that body, and we all need to do our portion so that the whole body working together can live up to its full potential. And I want to challenge you today. If you don't know your that, if you don't know your ministry calling, I want to give you an invitation to come forward and let us pray for you and seek God, and he'll tell you or give you point you in the right direction. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come forward and let us pray with you to receive him and be born again and experience the incredible changes and blessings that I've experienced since my born-again experience. So please, Pastor Gary and Jane, Carol, come forward. If anyone wants to come and pray, this is the time to do it. This is your opportunity, and amen. I really welcome you. Thank you for listening. God bless you.